Yeah. So we're in the middle of the Sugya of Hezek Re'iyah, and I wanted to, issue that comes up over here that's really a much broader topic, because we'll see, maybe we could tie it into the Parsha Seshavua. But the Gemara mentions over here that with regards to the requirement to build a wall between two adjacent properties in order to prevent Hezek Re'iyah, which we defined last time as one party preventing the other person from using their property to the fullest because they're intimidated to use their property as a result of the fact that someone else might be watching them. Or, you know, we had the alternative view that maybe Hezek Re'iyah is defined as not that I'm intimidated from using or inhibited from using my property to the fullest, but rather it's because you watching me itself could cause damages in the sense that my privacy has been violated, and that's no different than any other damage in the area of halach. We had those two possible understandings of what Hezek Re'iyah is all about. With regards to the Gina in the garden, the Gemara seems to present an additional issue, that of Ayin Hara. So right over here, after the parentheses, the Gemara says, Damar Rabbi Abba, Rav Huna, Marav, Asa La'adam La'amad B'Sdei Chavero, B'Shosh Hiyo Amedes B'Koy Meisel. You're not allowed to stand in the sada of your neighbor while it is in full bloom, because, as the Rashi explains, because Shugoy Azikenu B'Ayin Hara, in order that you shouldn't damage him with an Ayin Hara. What is an Ayin Hara? That I look askance at what you have. So just, you know, in terms of contrast, the Mishnah says, Maseches Avos, of course, we're introduced this week's parasha to Avraham Avinu, or at the end of last week's parasha, but really in this week's parasha, we get to know him a little bit better. And one of the defining qualities of Avraham Avinu and all of the Jewish people, in, you know, contrast distinction to Bilam, who's the opposite of Avraham Avinu, the Mishnah itself makes that comparison, but Avraham Avinu has these three qualities. One of them is Ayin Toiva, Ruach Nemucha, Nefesh Shefela. One of them is Ayin Toiva, and the Bar Tanura explains what that means is Mistavik of Mashi Yeshav Ein Ochay Meid Mamun Acherim. He's happy with that which he has. He doesn't begrudge the others for having more. Then how do you see that Avraham Avinu was about Ayin Toiva? Because in this week's parasha, he's offered money by the king of Sodom after the war of the four kings and the five kings, and he says, it's okay, I'm good with what I have, I'm not interested in getting any more. A person would only do that if he's happy with what he has, and he doesn't, he's not looking necessarily to climb the ladder, right, of material wealth, and he says, I'm happy with what I have, and I don't begrudge if you want to have more, you know, go ahead, have more. That's the attitude of Avraham Avinu, of having an Ayin Toiva, and the Mishnah contrasts that with Bilam, of course, looks askance at anyone who has more and attempts to bring them down to his level, that of Ayin Hara. We actually have Ayin Hara in this week's parasha because Sarah gives Hagar to Avraham Avinu in order to have a child, and Hagar becomes pregnant right away. She saw that she became pregnant. And then she started to treat, you know, Sarah, the tables had turned, and she started to treat Sarah in inferior fashion. She must have thought that she was spiritually more advanced than Sarah. But take a gavir to bay now. So her mistress started to become, you know, her value was cheapened in her eyes. So because of that, Sarah looked at Hagar and said, why do you deserve to have a child and I don't? And in fact, a few psukim later, the malach comes, right, and Hagar gets chased away because Sarah doesn't treat her nicely. She runs away to a spring. A malach finds her, says, where are you running? She says, go back to the house. You have nowhere to go anyway. And then the malach tells him, Yom malach, Hashem hinach harav yoladet bein. You're going to become pregnant and you will give birth to a son. What do you mean you're going to become pregnant? She was pregnant already. So it says Rashi in the name of Chazal that it must be that when Sarah looked askance at her, why did you become pregnant and I didn't? In fact, I'm more deserving than you are. She had a miscarriage of that first pregnancy. Shechnisa ayin harav yivura shahaga v'hipila ubra. And she lost that pregnancy. Again, in next week's parsha, we find when Hagar, of course, gives birth to Yishmael, and then after Sarah gives birth to Yitzchak, they're living in the house together, and Yishmael is a negative influence on Yitzchak. So Sarah finally prevails upon Avraham Avinu to evict Hagar and Yishmael from the home, and the pasuk says that Hagar had to carry Yishmael on her shoulder. Why did she have to carry Yishmael on her shoulder? He was already an adult at this point. So Rashi explains that it's because she gave him an ayin hara, so to speak. You know, she looked negatively towards him. And as a result of that, he was impaired and he wasn't able to walk anymore. And so much so that Hagar had to carry him. So we already find ayin hara in this week's parasha. It's one of the following, you know, the defining qualities of Bilam as opposed to Avraham Avinu as an ayin toiv. And ayin hara seems to be a very, you know, Jewish thing, right? It's pretty prevalent throughout Chazal already, we find it going back to pretty much the beginning of the history of the Jewish people. This notion that people can be harmed by when other people look negatively towards them. Kind of questioning why is it that they have a certain thing that perhaps they're not entitled to. And that's one of the things, one of the reasons why the Gemara says you're not supposed to look at your friend's field while it's in full bloom because of the issue of ayin hara. So this is not a fringe concern, ayin hara. This is not something that came up in recent times. This goes all the way back, very well entrenched, well documented issue in the eyes of Chazal was the concern of ayin hara. So much so, Rabbi said, look over here, Oiz Dawah. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, the Rav had the ability to communicate with the Mason. He once went to the Beis HaKvaris and started conversations with all of the people there. And he asked them, how did you end up here? And 99% of them said they ended up there because of Ayin Hara. Because someone looked at them askance. Someone looked at them, why did you have this, this or that? You weren't entitled to that. And for that reason, they became sick and ultimately developed an eye, passed away. How do you know that? So the Gemara derives it from the Pasuk in Parashas Ekev, Ehesir Hashem Mimcha Kocholi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed from us all sickness. Now, why does it say sickness, one sickness? There's many different illnesses that are in the physician's desk reference. So why does it say Ehesir Hashem Mimcha Kocholi, not Kocholaim? So the Gemara says, because all sicknesses are predicated upon the Ayin Hara. It could all be boiled down and distilled to the Ayin Hara, and therefore 99% of the people who are in the Beis Olam were there because of the Ayin Hara. So the Ayin Hara is something that's pretty well, entrenched in Yiddishkeit. Maybe even all of the people pass away, we believe it somehow as a result of Ayin Hara. The first set of luchos was broken because of Ayin Hara. Look over here, Ois Tes, well-known Medrash. The Medrash says that the first set of luchos were given, it was given with great fanfare and publicity. The second time they were given in discreet and private fashion. Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, "P'sal lucha shnei luchos havanim." You should create for yourself two tablets of stone. P'sal lucha means you should do it on your own. Do it quietly and then come up to the mountain and we'll take care of business. Why didn't it happen the same way the first ones were given? The first ones were given with great fanfare and publicity. So the Medrash explains, because the luchos rishonos hashenitnu b'pumbi, since they were given so publicly, l'fikha shaltu b'hem ayin hara. Because of that, there was an ayin hara. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, "You know what? Ein lecha davar yofa min atznias. There's nothing better than tznias. Tznias doesn't only mean wearing clothing that cover a certain part of the body. It means it relates to all areas of life, conducting oneself in private, without seeking kind of public approval, and or to make an impact or a splash. That's what tznias is all about. Quite countercultural today, right? But." That's the whole concept of tznias. So, ein lecha davar yofa min atznias. Instead, doing it privately kind of protects one from the ayin hara, as opposed to doing it publicly where you expose yourself to the ayin hara. And this issue of ayin hara is pretty, again, as we said, is pretty, established. In Yiddishkeit, there's even a ge'a halacha l'maisa. However, we know anybody who's ever counted up for a minyan knows that you're not supposed to count people. Why do you always say Hoshias Amecha, right? Or whatever pasuk you has 10 words that you're in favor of? Are you into that? So if you do that, when you count for a minute, you're not supposed to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Why not? Because the pasuk says at the beginning of Parashas Kisi, so the Kaiser was counted through the Machasis HaShekel. West, because they would have been counted directly without the Machasis HaShekel kind of serving in as the intermediary, it would have created a situation of Ayin Hara. The pasuk says, so there shouldn't be a plague as a result of counting them. Because when you count something, ayin hara is possible, and therefore better to count them to a master's shekel. And the Gemara says in Yuma, also limnoises Yisrael filud var mitzvah. You're not allowed to count Klal Yisrael, big shy about the Israeli census, how you're allowed to take part in the census. If you're not allowed to count Jews, that's going to discuss another time. But you're not supposed to count Jews, even if it's for a dvar mitzvah, like a minion. Last, you create a situation of an ayin hara. Yeah, what do you say?
Why is it not considered counting just because you're not using that, labeling it as a number?
I'm not. I'm saying psukim.
I'm saying, but it's usually...
If I go, Shia. That's probably okay. So that's probably not as good either. Yeah, but again, you don't have a number. I don't know what she's a mechavar. S, what, I ask you, what You don't necessarily know how many there are. You're just counting off a pasuk, so it's somehow better. Matzah and shekel as well was somehow better because it was this, it was broken up by the matzah and shekel. Yeah, but however, we know that this is true. Anyone, if you're into gabos, you know this. It's like aleph beis. If you're not into gabos, you might never pay attention to it. But you're not supposed to give an aliyah to a father and a son consecutively. Certainly to two brothers, we don't do it either. But a father and a son, we don't do it. We don't give aliyah to father or son. We usually break it up. So that's why if you have a family simcha, you have to be a creative gabai to give out the aliyahs, to make sure that you split it up with a mechutin or something, or some other cousin or something like that. You don't give father, son, or brothers all in a row. Why not? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, Mutar Meikar Adin, look over here, Simen Kuf Mem Aleph Siv Vav in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, B'Shvil Ein Manichin Al B'Shvil Ein Hara. We don't do this because of an Ein Hara. What's the Ein Hara? That people are going to say, why is this family getting all the aliyahs? Oh, they're deserving more than me? So if you get one aliyah, someone's got to get the aliyah. Okay, maybe this guy. If he gets shlishi every week, okay, it'd be a problem. But if it's, the whole family's getting all the aliyahs, that creates a situation of an ayin hara. What about hag b'glila? I'm not going to get this shayla. Hag b'glila. Can you give out hag b'glila to a father and a son? So I think it depends. It's not my hatsah. Others, please can say this. It depends whether or not you do it Young Israel style or you do it in the more traditional style. The traditional style was you call up a mishaberach, yamoid so-and-so, hagbo satara, and then so-and-so-and-so, ben so-and-so, leglila satara. And they give you a fancy mishaberach. In Young Israel shuls, they condensed it. It's a yamod hamagbi of hagoleo. Right, so if you do that, no one knows who you are. You're anonymous, so we just call you.
After COVID, I'm going to be in the COVID. They had a father and son do that. Wait, with less exposure.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're going to do that, then you should do the condensed version of Yamod HaMagbi HaGoyle. But that's not really the traditional way of calling up. I don't know. They probably do that in most. They do it. Yam Derom, because you bought it. You paid money for it. No, that's why. That's why. I give a mishab. Any guy who pays for an aliyah, you get a mishaberach. I mean, that's an aleph beis. That's for sure. But that's why here in YU, I mean, at least 25 years ago when I was here, they used to never give mishaberach except for Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. I don't know why. No one paid for anything here, but I don't know. Seems like it was more. We aren't as much of a rush as we are usually. Anyway, but so if you call them up by name, it's obvious who's who. So then you have to be a little bit more careful. If you don't call them up by name, you don't have to be as careful. But we are concerned about this issue of ayin hara. Look, I don't know any shul in the world where the people who have parents don't leave for Yisker. Why do we leave for Yisker? Because the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos that there was one Amira looked at someone else. He had no parents. He was a Yasum. The other one had parents, and he looked at him and said, "Why do you have parents and I don't?" And that creates a situation when I am harassed. That's what it says in the Mat Ephraim. The minig is that all people who have children, who have parents, leave during Yisker. Also an issue of I am harassed. Or if you've ever served on Atzela, you know this, but you should never know from it. But if you're ever near a mace when they pass away, so one of the big things you have to do is cover the eyes, close the eyes. Why can't the eyes stay open? So it says in the Kabbalah, the Gesfarim, again, an Indian of Ayin Hara. We don't want the eyes looking out. It's bad. It's dangerous to have Ayin Hara around us. So we are clearly concerned with Ayin Hara. This is not just an Indian of Drush or Agoda. This is a matter of Halacha. Even if you like to draw those kinds of distinctions, this is a matter of Halacha. It comes up all the time. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah over here has an Evan Ezer that we don't make two chasanos with the same Sheva Brachas. Me'ikar, then you can. You're really not supposed to overlap Sheva Brachas if you're marrying two women, which is prohibited today, but if one woman to another woman, you have to give each one the proper Sheva Brachas, otherwise it's Eim Ma'arv and Simcha B'Simcha. That's why Yaakov and Leah, right, Rachel and Leah, he had to wait until after Leah's was over in order to marry Rachel. Molei Shvu Azos V'Nidlachol Gam Azos, after this one is over, then you can marry that one, otherwise it's Eim Ma'arv and Simcha B'Simcha. But if it's two women at once, then you can make Sheva Brachas for both together. But we don't do that. We don't make one Sheva Brachas for two couples. Mishum Ayin Hara. It's an issue of Ayin Hara. Okay, so Ayin Hara is an issue that is well documented throughout Chazal, all over the place. I gave you a potpourri of it, but it's mamish, ubiquitous. It's all over the place, Ayin Hara. to give an exhaustive treatment of Ayin Hara throughout Chazal would take pages and book, you know, chapters and chapters, and people have done it. There's tons of literature about Ayin Hara. It's all over the place. The problem, and it's all over Shulchan Aruch too. The problem is Chevra. The Rambam here seems to ignore this, because the Rambam, our Gemara, said you have to build a wall between two ginas, not only because of Hezek Riyash Mei Hezek, and you might be inhibited or discouraged from using your field to the fullest, and therefore, in a certain sense, you know, because I'm watching you in a certain sense, I'm going to cause you damage. But if it's in a gina, you have the additional concern not only of Hezek Riyash Mei Hezek, but of Ayin Hara. So the Rambam, as we saw last time, the Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, building a fence between two chatzeros, the Rambam says, oh, you have to be concerned with Hezek Riyash Mei Hezek. When it comes to a gina, the Rambam said, nah, you don't need a 7-foot wall. If you remember we had last time, you don't need Dan Amos. It's enough with a sarat fochim to prevent one from stealing from the other. Because the Rambam felt that the Hezek Riyah by a gina was not the same as the Hezek Riyah by a chatzer. By a chatzer, it's because I might do private activities in my courtyard. No one does private activities in their fields, right, in their cornfields. Don't do private activities there. What is Hezek Riyah all about? I'm afraid that you're going to confuse my stuff with your stuff. So build a 10 tefach wall, 3 feet. I don't know what's mine. Is mine and what's yours is yours. But what are the issue of Ayin Hara? Ayin Hara, you shouldn't look at my field, Kishay Medes, because I said it's in full bloom and full harvest. So then I should need a 7-foot wall, even in the Gina. Forget about Hezek Riyash Mei Hezek. If you're going to define that differently with regards to a gina, with regards to a chatzah, what about Ayin Hara? Should require a 7-foot wall. So we saw the Migdal Oiz. Look over here, Oiz Dao. The Migdal Oiz says, quotes in the name of the Rambam and his tribute to the Chachmei Bluniel. He says, what are you concerned with Ayin Hara? Ayin Hara, says the Rambam. Nah. Elu Divrei Chassidus Hein. That's Divrei Chassidus. And he doesn't mean that positively, you know. He means that somewhat pejoratively. Elu Divrei Chassidus Hein. When the Gemara said that you need a wall between two ginas because of Ayin Hara, there was a dikhoi ba'alma, but was not accepted the halacha. So in the back of the Gemara, there's a commentary by Rav Matisyo Strashun. Matisyo Strashun is not that well known. His father was much more well known. We call him the Rashash. Rashash in the back of the Gemara, Shmuel Strashun from Vilna. He's well known. Rav Matisyo Strashun was the son. So, but in the back of the Gemara, they quote it from the commentary of Matisyo Strashun, and he makes a compelling argument. He says, this is the Rambam Lishitosa. If you're familiar with the Rambam's positions on like the mystical aspects of Judaism, like Gilgulim and Shedim and all these kinds of things, or Kishuf, the existence of magic and all that, even though there were many Rishonim who were big believers in these kinds of things, in these kind of powers that exist in the world that are supernatural and they can be tapped into, the Rambam's opinion is that there's no such thing as supernatural powers that exist within the world. Even the miracles themselves, the Rambam says, were already embedded within the Bria. That's what the Mishnah means in Masechta Sava, that there were 10 things that were created Erev Shabbos, Ben Hashmashes, and amongst those things are come out all of the miracles that occur throughout the history of the world. And the Rambam writes, that list is not exhaustive. Those 10 items that I mentioned in the Mishnah, right, the Shalir and the Piyason and all the things that the Mishnah mentioned. The Rambam says, that's not exhaustive. Every time there was a miracle that's mentioned in Tanakh that occurs throughout the history of the world was already embedded within the Bria itself. You realize what that means, right? You realize what that means? What that means is there's no such thing as miracles for the Rambam. Because if it's embedded within the Bria, that means it's included within the rules of nature. So many times you hear people say, oh, the Red Sea didn't split. It was a result of the fact, there was no Kriyas Yamsuf. It was a result of the fact that there was a tsunami and a lunar something or other, and that's what caused the sea to split. According to the Rambam, it's Ein Hachinami, of course. But that convergence of natural phenomenon causing the water to split is exactly how the Rambam understands the way that miracles develop. It's embedded in the Bria that these things should occur through natural means. So according to the Rambam, there's literally no such thing as miracles. If they are, it was already embedded within creation from the very beginning. That's why the Ramban goes to town on this Rambam in his famous commentary on Parshas Bo. Perhaps the most famous comment of the Ramban on Chumash is in Parshas Bo, where the Ramban writes that everything that occurs within the world, kulam nisim ein bam teva, everything that happens is entirely miraculous. There is no such thing as teva. He goes to the other extreme. And he says that the Rambam, he accuses the Rambam of destroying miracles. There's no such thing as miracles for the Rambam. He says he elevates teva so much that there's no such thing as miracles. The Ramban goes to the other extreme. The Ramban says there's no such thing as teva. Everything that occurs within teva is itself a series of small miracles. And the Ramban writes, whoever doesn't believe in this, ain lo chelik b'toras Moshe. Anyway, so the Mamash had opposite poles over here, and Lishitasam throughout many eras of Allah, we don't have time to go through them all now, but the Ramban's opinion is that there is such a thing as magic. That's what the Isser of Kishuf is all about, is to tap into these powers. I don't want to call black magic because there's no such thing as black magic, and even if it, you know what I'm talking about, these kinds of undercurrents of forces that the Ribbono Shel Olam placed in the world that are beyond Teva. The Ramban holds that that's exactly the Isser of Kishuf, is to tap into those things. The Rambam holds now, the whole thing is sleight of hand. That's why the Rambam, there's a whole issue with regards to magic shows and sleight of hand. The Rambam holds the whole Isser of Kishuf is sleight of hand, because there is no such thing as magic. So how can there possibly be an Isser of magic when there's no such thing? So it must be the whole issue is sleight of hand. Whereas the other we shouldn't believe, no, there is a real such, there is such a thing. So some over here, it's not surprising that the Rambam would deny Ayin Hara, unless it's, scientifically quantifiable and, verified in a laboratory. The Rambam's not going to buy into it. So that's why the Rambam seems to, not believe in Ayin Hara. The problem is, if you're going to take that approach, what happened to all of the statements of Chazal, which is chock full of Ayin Hara? What does the Rambam do with all of that? It's a huge problem. Have you heard the problem? The Rambam, okay, I understand. This is the Rambam Shitasa, he's very, rationalist, and it fits within his line of thinking. His whole worldview, his Weltanschauung, but how does the Rambam deal with the statements of Chazal that we have all over the place regarding Ayin Hara?
Is Ayin Hara
Well, we have to define Ayin Hara, right? In order to understand this Rambam, we're going to have to define Ayin Hara and maybe distinguish between two different types or two different trains of thought within Ayin Hara, which might have become conflated within Chazal. Maybe the Rambam is drawing a distinction between them. What is Ayin Hara all about? How does this work? I look askance at you, you have something you're not entitled to, and for some reason, you lose that. How does that work? So, I think there's a few ways of approaching this. One, I don't know if it's the most obvious, but the most, I guess, kind of simplest to understand, that works within categories that we're used to, is with the Maharsha writes over here, Ois Tezayin. Maharsha says, what is, Ayin Hara all about? It's a kind of a klala. I'm cursing you. And just like we're quite familiar with the notion of a bracha, I give you a bracha and you get things that you're not entitled to. So a klala can mean, I'm kind of wishing that you lose these things that you have been blessed with. And that's the way perhaps Ayin Hara works. I look at you, I say, why do you have that? You don't deserve that, and you lose it as a result of that. The Chaim HaKadosh, in his commentary on Parshas Balak, right, Bilam tried to kind of curse Klal Yisrael with his, that's why he's known for his Ayin Hara, through the power of cursing, and through, specifically, he was known as Susum HaAyin, right? He had one eye. So he was looking at Klal Yisrael with an Ayin Hara. So the Chaim HaKadosh over there in Parshas Balak discusses the whole concept of Klalos and Ayin Hara, and the Chaim HaKadosh asks, well, how does a Klal work? If you're entitled to this item just because I curse you, why should you lose it? And if you were never entitled to it in the first place, how did you get it? So Chaim HaKadosh says the way it works is the following. Is sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlooks our avers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Erech HaPayim Rav Chesav Yemes. He has patience. So he doesn't exact punishment immediately. But there are certain things we can do that encourage the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak, to do a audit on us. Right, a person walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim wearing gold. That reminds me of Banu Shalom, oh yeah, that Chet HaEgel thing. You know what? You guys really don't deserve it. Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. That serves as a prosecutor against us. What, Hashem forgot about the Chet HaEgel? No, he didn't forget about it, but it reminds me of Banu Shalom of it, and in a certain sense we lose any credibility that we might have had because we just reminded Hashem of the Chet HaEgel. So too, in a similar way, if a person looks at us and says, why does that guy have this? He's not really entitled to that. That encourages the Kadosh Baruch Hu to say, yeah, maybe it's time for an audit of this individual, even though normally a Kadosh Baruch Hu's posture is Erech HaPayim Rav Chesav Yemes, that kind of encourages the Kadosh Baruch Hu to look further into him. So, Kamo Ken Kishikau Alam Chaveir HaSev HaKlosh HaVonais VaShir HaShem Marech Loi. Sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him, has patience with him. Now he's going to be a little bit more quickly, act more quickly in terms of exacting punishment. But if the person is really, not deserving of any kind of punishment, then he really should not be, he should be impervious to this Ayin Hara. So what the Ayin Hara does then, is it kind of provokes the Ribbono Shel Olam to investigate this individual further and to figure out if he's really deserving of these things. Now what that means is, if he really is deserving of it, Ayin Hara can't harm him. It's only if he's really not deserving of it, then he has to be kind of scared of the Ayin Hara. And or maybe it works even a little, you know, I think it's somewhat different within the world with Marsha. It's kind of a klala, right? We hope a bracha works even if you're not entitled to it. The fact that a tzaddik gave you a bracha helps you. Maybe the fact that someone else gave you a klala, you know, hurts you. Maybe. Okay, but that's the klala approach. However you understand how klala works. Maybe a klala can harm you even if you're not deserving. Or maybe the way a klala works is it shines a spotlight on this individual and encourages the Kaddish Baruch Hu to perform a spiritual audit. But it's the klala approach. Maybe that's what Ayin Hara is about. Rav Dessler has, in the Michel Melio, what I think is will resonate the most with us, a different. Rav Dessler says no like this. This is, what is Ayin Hara? Ayin Hara is really bad for the person who has the Ayin Hara and for the person who receives Ayin Hara. Why is it called Ayin Hara? It should really be called Ayin Ra'a. A bad eye. Why is it Ayin Hara? It's the eye of the bad. So the answer is because you're a bad guy. Why do you begrudge that this guy has something more than you? But by the, so it's bad for you. You're a bad guy for having, you know, not you specifically, the, you know, the straw man who has the Ayin Hara is a bad guy. Why having an Ayin Hara about someone else? Let him have his thing, and why does it bother you? By the same token, the other individual who provoked this Ayin Hara is also a bad guy. He's flaunting, you know, that which he has. He's being ostentatious about all of the brachas Hashem gave him. And in a certain sense, he's causing other people to be jealous of him. Now, if the other person were a bigger man, he wouldn't be jealous. But a lot of people are not bigger people. So other people are going to reasonably be jealous. And since he elicited that kind of response, he's deserving a punishment for causing other people pain for making them jealous of him. Well, let's read Rav Dessler. Right to Vekibi. Emes zesh mekane bechaver hareu mischai ba'atzmoi b'tzaroi. The person who's mekane his friend, he really is deserving a punishment. Why being jealous of someone else? Emes zesh al yodoi hayo lechaveru tzar shokina. You cause your friend pain by being ostentatious, by flaunting that which you have. Hu gam kein nenosh v'yokal afsid. It's oshoi. You deserve to be punished too because you caused your friend pain. And I think that's how the Rambam understood Ayin Hara. This makes a lot of sense. You caused your friend pain. But then, Chevra, the Rambam would distinguish, what if I'm not causing you pain? I'm not flaunting. I'm just doing my business, man. That's all I'm doing, is I'm doing my thing. You came into my property and started looking at my fields and getting jealous. I wasn't flaunting. I'm not walking around town with my stock portfolio, you know, on a ticker tape around on my car. I'm not walking around with a convertible $600,000 vehicle, you know. I'm growing corn. You came and looked at my field. And why is this guy's corn growing so well? So Rambam says that whole Indian, I mean, Kleshish Vayin Hara, that my neighbor is going to look at my field and therefore that's going to hurt my, you know, crop and harvest. I'm not doing anything to provoke that. I'm not being ostentatious. I'm not flaunting anything that I have. That's where the Rambam says that's Divrei Chassidus. To be Kleshish Vayin Hara in that setting too? No, come on. Chazal were sometimes, and we'll have to explain that in a second. But the Rambam, that he doesn't accept. That the Rambam does not accept. If you're not flaunting anything, you're not being ostentatious about it, the Rambam feels no fear of Ayin Hara. And I think that that's what Rashi means in Parshas Balak. Look over here in Parshas Balak. The pasuk says, Bilam picked up his eyes in order to curse Klal Yisrael. He wasn't able to do so. Why not? Says the pasuk, Ve'isa Bilam Aseinu Vayaris Yisrael Shoichein L'Shvatav. They were sitting according to their Shvatim. What does that mean? Rashi says, based on the pasuk, Matoivo Alecha Yaakov Mishkan Esecha Yisrael, how praiseworthy are the tents of Yaakov, the dwelling places, the communities, the neighborhoods of Yisrael, because Ein Pischeim Chuvonim Ze Keneged Ze. No one's door opened opposite their friend. Meaning, they were living private lives. I didn't have my door open up opposite yours, and you should look into my house and see everything that I have. I was trying to be private about it. So then Bilam said, once they're living bitznius, they're living privately, I can't curse them. They're living discreet lives. There's nothing I can do to them. Ayin Hara only works when I'm being ostentatious, when I'm flaunting that which I have. I'm causing you pain. Now Ayin Hara has traction. But if I'm not doing anything like that, I'm living a private life. There's no such thing as Ayin Hara, according to the, you know, that's why Bilam had no power over them. Or Chavra, look back. Famous Gemara, Masechtas Bava Metzia. The Gemara says, that Rabbi Yochanan would sit, not advisable for us, Rabbi Yochanan would sit outside of the mikvah so that the woman, when they were coming out of the mikvah, would see him. He was supposed to be a very beautiful man. When they would go home, they would think of him when they were with their husbands, and they would give birth to children that were as beautiful as him. That's Gemara regarding Rabbi Yochanan. So Gemara says, the Gemara's kasha in this whole Maisa, which is interesting on many levels, is that, Rabbi Yochanan, aren't you afraid? You're so beautiful and you're flaunting it that you should be worried about Ayin Hara. So he says, no, I'm not worried about Ayin Hara because I'm from the descendants of Yosef. Yosef is protected from the Ayin Hara. Pasuk says in Parashat Vayechi, Ben Paras Yosef, Ben Paras Ali Ayin, that the vineyard of Yosef was near the well. Al Tikre Ali Ayin, near the well, El Oile Ayin, it goes above the eye. Descendants of Yosef are protected from Ayin Hara. That's what the Pasuk says, Vayigdu Ularoi, Beker Vaharetz. They should multiply like the fish in the sea. Madag shabiyom. The water covers over them. There's no ayin hara by the sense of Yosef, just like the fish. Why are the fish protected from the ayin hara? Because the water covers over them. Yeah, but you can go scuba diving, chevra, and see the fish. Why are the fish protected from the ayin hara? So I'll tell you why the fish are protected from the ayin hara. Even when you go down into the sea, and you, I can't go. I once tried to go scuba diving. I couldn't see without my glasses. The whole thing was a bracha latoa. I was like, "What am I looking at?" They're like, "Isn't it beautiful?" I was like, "I can't see anything," but it was a waste of time. But I'm told it's fantastic. You can see tons of fish and the schools of fish. There's lots of fish in the sea, as they say in Shidduchim, right? It's true too. There are lots and lots of fish in the sea. So why are they protected from the Ayin Hara? Why do they get a free hole pass with regards to Ayin Hara? I'll tell you why. Because the fish are minding their own business. They're not bothering anyone. They live in their own little world over there. Leave them alone. They're not flaunting anything they have to you. So the fish are protected from the Ayin Hara. That's why. And Chava, I think that's what the Medrash means over here too. Look over here, Oysu Test. The Mishnah, the Medrash says, Yaakov Avinu told his children, when they're going down to Mitzrayim to get food from Yosef, during the famine, he said, why are you all guys going in the same gate? Go in different gates, right? They all went through different gates and then they met at the palace by Yosef. He said, why? Because Lama Tisrohu, says the Medrash, why are you creating an Ayin Hara? What do you mean Ayin Hara? When they get to the palace, we're going to see them all together then. So how do you prevent the Ayin Hara? By going in different gates. The answer is, we're doing that which we can to show that we're not concerned with impressing anyone. We're living a tzniyus life. We're all going in different gates. We happen to meet up by the palace. What else can we do? But I'm just minding my own business. That kind of situation, the Rambam feels, you don't have to be chayshish for an Ayin Hara. Because Ayin Hara is about, I'm causing someone else tzar by flaunting that which I have. So we have two perspectives on Ayin Hara. One is the klala approach, however you understand how a klala works. The other, either it provokes your banishment to make a spiritual audit, or it can go above and beyond, you know, and harm me, even if I'm not deserving of it. Lo'eleinu. Then there's the Rav Dessler approach, which I think is the Rambam's opinion, that it's only if I'm going out of my way to flaunt that which I have because I'm causing you tsar and making you jealous. You could be a bigger man, but it's reasonable that a person might be jealous and therefore I'm deserving of punishment. But neither one of these are the classical approach. The classical approach is the mystical approach. Already the Abarbanel writes over here, Oiskof Aleph, and there's so many Marmakimists, it's overwhelming. How many Marmakimists have this kind of approach? But these are the famous ones. The Barbanel Rash at the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, Davar Mefursim Beino Anoshim, Hahezek Habom Ayin Harashu Kamosha Kosva Philosoph. What is the damage that comes as a result of Ayin Harash? Like the philosophers, right? Sheyotman Ayim Edim Mehamoisim Sheyidchem Ateva. Kind of waves or beams come out of the eye and can cause harm. Vizem Eish Bao Hanefesh Hara Hakenos Ularisius. He has jealous, and that is poisonous. And then it's going to affect that which is the victim of these eye beams. And it could be you can kill someone by looking at them, right? The Gemara talks about that. There were different Amorim who looked at things and caused people to die, right? He made them into a... He looked at him, and he caused him to turn into a pile of stones. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai came out of the cave. He looked at the fellow who was, you know, carrying flowers for Shabbos. When can I get up or whatever? When he looked at the people who were doing mitzvahs, burned things on the spot. So we believe that, Chazal seemed to believe that there were powers that came out of the eye that could cause harm and damage. And one of those manifestations, the things that can prompt that is jealousy. And that is what the Ayin Hara is all about. That's what the Mishnah says in Masechet Tosafot. There are three things that remove a person from the Yoilam. One of them is Ayin Hara. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Ayin Hara V'Yetzer Avesinah Sabriyas Meitzidas Adam and Arlam says Rabbeinu Yoina over there on that mission of Masechet Tosafos. Mi She'ena Tzomeach B'Chelko. If you're not happy with what you have, but you and Eschavera Ha'ashim Imenu, you're jealous of your friend who has more than you. When will I get as rich as him? What happens? Air comes out of your thoughts and burns that which you see with your bad eye. Wow. So you say, nah, come on, this was the medievals believe this. Look over here, the Chazon Ish, not so long ago, says the Chazon Ish, this is one of the laws of creation, whether you want to call it a natural law or one of the more mystical principles. He can cause damage to physical items by focusing on them, by looking at them, by thinking about them negatively. He can cause them damage. Now, science has not verified this, as we know, but that's what they claim. There is a study from the 1880s. Brought in a book called Tosefes Bracha. Tosefes Bracha was written by the author of the Torah Tamima. He's more well known for his book, the Torah Tamima. He does a Sefer on Chumash called the Tosefes Bracha. So in the Tosefes Bracha on Parshas Balak, he cites their study in the 1880s from a Russian journal. Now, this Russian journal was not the New England Journal of Medicine, but whatever it was. Maybe it was a tabloid, I don't know. But this article exists, you can find it. It was cited in later studies. It exists, Russian. From 1881 that they took inmates who were on death row and did medical experiments on them. Not surprising. One of the medical experiments they did was they took an inmate who was on death row, starved him for 3 days. Obviously they gave him water to drink, otherwise he probably would have died. Starved him for 3 days. They put in the room with him a loaf of bread, but he couldn't reach it. So he's like looking at the loaf of bread for a day or two, starving. Later on, they cut open the loaf of bread and saw that it was full of poison. They tested it in the laboratory and saw it was full of poison. How did it get full of poison? Because he was looking at it, you know, for a day. It was full of poison. So they determined that you have this power to create a kind of a poison with your eyes. That's the classical approach to Ayin Hara. That's why fish are protected from Ayin Hara. You know why? As the Gemara says, they're underneath the water. You can't hit them with the laser beams that are coming out of your eye because they're protected from the... You guys are laughing. They're protected. That's why Bilam couldn't curse Klal Yisrael either, because he couldn't see inside of their tents. The doors were hidden and concealed. That's what Ayin Hara is about. So that's the Ayin Hara that the Rambam acknowledged but wrote Divrei Chassidus in. Not that I did anything to provoke you to be jealous of me. That the Rambam agrees, of course. The first set of luchos were broken because they were given with fanfare and publicity. What are you doing? Publicizing the giving of the Torah. So yeah, they were broken because of Ayin Hara, because we caused jealousy amongst the Umos HaElam or whoever was observing. Yeah, that's a real thing according to the Rambam. That he would agree exists. It's this, you know, supernatural power, mystical power, a power which we haven't yet, science hasn't yet caught up with, however you want to phrase it, that power to come out of your eyes and cause pain and poison. That's what the Rambam calls Divrei Chassidus Haim, even though I didn't do anything to provoke you. That's what the Rambam calls Divrei Chassidus Haim. That's what the Rambam, kind of rejects. I think that this distinction can help us understand the truth for Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe over here, how do we paskin on this issue of Ayin Hara? So it appears all over the place in Halacha. Right? You don't give two aliyahs to a father and a son consecutively. So Rav Moshe writes over here, though, Be'inyan Ayin Hara, Oyschof. Vada Yeshloch, of course you have to be careful for Ayin Hara. Avo ein lahak bin harbe. Don't be too careful about it. Ki bedvarim ka'elu haklal mando lo kapit lo kapdino bade. If you're not careful about Ayin Hara, it doesn't bother you. The Gemara has that rule in Mesechtas Pesachim, Adaf Kofiyurim Abeis, with regards to Zugais. We don't do things in pairs. That's what the Gemara asks. How can we have four kaisis? We don't do things in pairs. The Gemara says each kais is a separate mitzvah b'fnei atzma. But in general, we don't do things in pairs. No Zugais. No pairs. So Gemara says, really? We're chayshish for zugos? Gemara says, man de kapit, kapdino bade, man de kapit, kapdino bade. If you're careful about it, it matters for you. If you're not careful about it, it doesn't matter for you. Or Moshe says the same is true with regards to Ayin Hara. You care about it? Okay, it's a big issue by you. You don't care about it? Not an issue by you. So many people ask me, a pregnant woman going to a cemetery. There's two men hugging about this. Two pregnant women goes to a cemetery. Why not go to a cemetery? Ayin Hara. She's pregnant. Everyone else is dead. You know, people are dead around you. It's an Ayin Hara. So don't go. Some say, no, there's no such minig. So people ask me about it. I say there's two minhagim. If you have a strong family tradition that you have this minhag, okay, because it's for the minhag. I don't know anyone who has a strong family tradition. What happened is people put it in Google, and everyone is afraid for any possible heebie-jeebie thing. So they say, oh, they get scared about it, because every school or every thing over there, nowadays everyone confined on the internet. But, okay, mande kapit kapdino bade. Mande lo kapit lo kapdino bade. If it bothers you, then they'll go. If it doesn't bother you, I don't think there's a problem to go. So that's what Ramosha is saying about Ayin Hara. What? Ramosha rejects the whole notion of Ayin Hara? It's only for those people who buy into it? If you believe in them, then it bothers you. If you don't believe in fairies, then it doesn't bother you. What's going on? So in the sefer over here, Ayis Chav Daud, called Ayin Hara Be'en Hayadus. You'd be surprised how much literature there is about Ayin Hara. Quote over here from Chaim Kanievsky, who rejected this. They said, is this true? If you believe in Ayin Hara, then it bothers you, then it is an area of concern. If you don't believe in Ayin Hara, then it's not an area of concern. Is that true? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky said, Ein shayach l'Ayin Hara lo shamati eino nocham. This is not true. What are you talking about? Kapid, mind the kapid, kapdino ba'day, mind the kapid, kapdino ba'day. That's true with regards to Zugos. That's not true with regards to Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara applies whether you believe in it or you don't. It's all over Chazal. It's all over Halacha. What do you mean it's only for those who believe in it? The whole issue of giving an aliyah to a father and a son is only if you care about it. If you don't care about it, there's no issue. No, Ayin Hara universally applies. What's going on over here in the Tshuva for Rav Moshe? I think if you look at Rav Moshe carefully, you'll see. Rav Moshe says, he quotes the Rambam. He's following the opinion of the Rambam. And he says, it's only by something that's not l'fi derech ha'olam. If you're doing normal activities of life, you don't have to be afraid for Ayin Hara. If you are, okay. Man de kapit kapdina ba'day. If you think that, that bothers you, so then it exists for you. If it doesn't bother you, it doesn't exist for you. But that's what I'm talking about when you're doing normal things. You're not flaunting. You're not being ostentatious. I'm going about my life. So if you think that Ayin Hara applies, if you believe in that, that's the aspect of the Ayin Hara. The Rambam says it's different chassid the same. So that's what Ramesha says. Then you're going about regular activities of life. There's no issue of Ayin Hara. If I'm not flaunting or whatever. Look, that's what Ramesh says, but if you are concerned about it, mind the kapit, kapdina b'day, mind the kapit, lo kapdina b'day. But the Ayin Hara, why are you giving two aliyahs to a father and a son? You can give the aliyahs, break it up. Why do you have to do it that way? As Yaakov said to his children, go in different gates. Why do you have to go in the same gate, marching in together, arm in arm? Look how strong and tall and beautiful we all are. Why do you have to do it that way? Make your doorway open up not to the front of the city. You don't have to drive the fancy car. You don't have to have, all these things. So you're doing it in a way that draws attention. Okay. Everyone agrees to that. No doubt about that. Shaila is, what if I'm doing regular activities of life and this guy, begrudges me for allowing me, for doing these things? And there's no more understated way to do it. I'm just doing, I'm growing corn in my field. What else do you want me to do? I'm walking down the street. What else do you want me to do? I'm not being ostentatious about it. So then, that's exactly what that was the distinction the Rambam drew, and it's that where the Ramesha says, "Man the kapit kapdinim de man the kapit lo kapdinim." Okay, Chavis, I think we have to draw this distinction that will help us understand the Rambam. But what interests most people today is how do you remove Ayin Hara? There are experts. You can pay lots of money to remove Ayin Hara. You know about this?
Yeah, in the back of some of them on the publications and the back of the classifieds, there are numbers you can call to remove Ayin Hara.
Endorsed by many rabbanim. There's lach hashem, incantations. Many people have a messiah about this. Is this possible? Is it possible to remove an Ayin Hara? Now, I think this whole removing Ayin Hara business is only in the second category of Ayin Hara. Right? We're talking about being damaged by people looking at you. So then, if there's a damage that's occurred by people looking at me, some sort of spiritual laser beams that attack me, so then you can talk about shields and virus removal.
Isn't it
the Gemara says in Barbasa later on in Kufir Aleph, if you want to be protected from Ayin Hara, move far away and live in an island. That's a good solution. But then, because no one will ever see you. Okay, if you move to the International Space Station, you'll be protected from Ayin Hara. That's true. But that's not a practical solution for most people. So the Gemara says in Brachas, you want to be protected from Ayin Hara? Manda oyel lamasa, the dachame ein abisha, you're afraid of ein abisha, Ayin Hara. Lin koit zak v'didah, the yamina b'yodah d'smel, v'zak v'diyodah d'smela b'yodah d'mima. Put your thumb in your right palm, your left thumb in your right palm, like this. And you say, I am from the descendants of Yosef, Ana Plani Baplania, Plani Ben Plani, I'm descendants from Yosef, who is protected from Ayin Hara, Ben Paras, Yosef Ben Paras Ali Ayin. Almost all of the incantations you see online about removing Ayin Hara involve that pasuk. Ben Paras, Yosef Ben Paras Ali Ayin, saying something along those lines. So you do like this. So Ben Yoyada on that Gemara has a whole explanation, the Ben Ishchai has a whole explanation about what's going on over here. With the thumb represents Kali Yisrael because it's separate from all the other Umas Ha'ilam, the other fingers. I don't know what that's about. The Reishis Chachma. Reishis Chachma is a Talmud from Moshe Kildavero, who is a Talmud of Reb Chaim Vital, one of the Talmud of the Ari HaKadosh. So from the school of the Ari HaKadosh, you find in the Reishis Chachma, in the name of the Zohar HaKadosh, that if you say something nice about someone, you give him, opening him up to a potential for Ayin Hara, you should bless him. B'li Ayin Hara. So this makes sense according to the approach that Ayin Hara is a kind of a curse, right? Ayin Hara is a klala. So if I mention something good that you have, I don't want that to be misunderstood. So I give you a bracha, B'li Ayin Hara, as we say in Yiddish, Kein Ayin Hara, or it's been abridged to Kein Ayin Hara.
I know, dear.
Like B'li, it's a bracha. Yeah, Kein Ayin Hara. It's a bracha.
I know it's
Kein Ayin Hara. Yeah, it's a bracha. B'li Ayin Hara. Okay, it's a bracha. The Yaakov Ruveni is also from the Kabbalistic school, 1700s. Quote over here that the letter He is a protection from the Ayin Hara, the number 5. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Ber, anyone here a Kohen? Shulchan Aruch says in Berachos Kohanim that there's supposed to be 5 air spaces in the hands of the Kohanim. 1, 2, 3 between the 2 thumbs. 4, 5. 5 air spaces. You're not supposed to be like this. It's supposed to be like this.
I'm doing it wrong my whole life.
It's supposed to be like this, not like this.
I feel like I was taught to put my thumbs together.
Thumbs together? Supposed to, 7 Shulchan Aruch is supposed to be 5 air spaces, so we'll look into that. But, but anyway, I don't think so. I think it's like this. You know when to go back and forth, though. That, you know. You've worn the simon?
Yeah, with the chas.
Yeah.
Shalom.
So the 5 air spaces is somehow protection from Ayin Hara. So because of that, the Yaakov Ruveni says that the number 5 is a protection from Ayin Hara. So to write a number 5 in some metallic substance, some feels iron is a protection from Ayin Hara. They quote that from the Ben Ishchai. There are 7 metals that are mentioned in the Torah, corresponding to 7 lower midas. One of them is, can I get hoid? Lead is hoid. Hoid is somehow connected to Ayin Hara. I don't know. That's above and beyond me. But as a kind of a manifestation of that, developed the chamsa. The chamsa is the upside down hand. You see sometimes it has 5 fingers. That's the 5 in metal, because the metals are somehow related over here to the protection from the Ayin Hara, going down like that, and that's where you get the chamsa. What about the red string? What's the red string all about? Probably nothing. But you never want a machavek from Baba Mises, people, the Babas that were out there saying it, so... Some suggest, I think I found this is the most compelling approach to the red string. The red string is there to divert attention. If you believe that the Ayin Hara causes harmful laser beams to come out of it, you know, so what can you do? You have a lightning rod. As you're afraid of lightning. You have a lightning rod out there that attracts all the lightning and that protects the buildings and the human beings. So the red string is a lightning rod. You walk around, red attracts attention. So you walk around with red, everyone looks at the red and no one bothers looking at everything else that you have on and everything else that's going on in your life because you're focused on the thank you Hashem red string. Maybe that's what it's about. I'll tell you a cover. The biggest skula for protection from Ayin Hara is to live a private life. That's the best. To do Torah and Mitzvahs. Torah and Mitzvahs is the protection from Ayin Hara. Tzitzit is the protection from Ayin Hara. Tefillah, Tehillim, Shir HaMalos, Davening, all of these things are protection from Ayin Hara. But first and foremost, living a private life. You live a life of Chaim B'Tznius, that is the biggest protection from Ayin Hara. The biggest protection from Ayin Hara, and also to look at people with a positive light. And I think they're interrelated. Rav Dessler writes in Mitzvah Melio that if I lead a private life and I am interested in giving to people and not taking from them, and I honestly do not care what other people think about me, meaning I have an Ayin Tova, I don't begrudge you, I'm not in competition with you, that people will not be... Excuse me. If I'm not in competition with you... people will not be in competition with me. That's why the fish, Rav Dessler suggests, are protected from Ayin Hara. You know why fish are protected from Ayin Hara? They're not in competition with us. Fish are living underneath the sea. They could care less what goes on up here. So because of that, they live in their own little world. So to Rav Dessler says, if I live in my own little world, I'm living a private life, I'm not interested in impressing you. So if I'm not interested in impressing you, you're not going to be interested in what's going on by me. You ever think about it? Why is it that stockbrokers are jealous of stockbrokers? Investment bankers are jealous of investment bankers. Doctors are jealous of doctors. The pizza store owners are jealous of the pizza store owners. Rabbis are competing with rabbis. Well, schools are competing with schools. Why don't the schools compete with the stock analyst in Merrill Lynch? No, I don't know any teacher who looks at a stock analyst in Merrill Lynch and says, why is that? You know, it doesn't happen that way. Why not? Because he's becoming a different world than me. I don't bother thinking about what's going on by him. And that's what's going on in the fish. The fish are living in a whole little world, so they honestly don't care. So that's the best way to protect yourself from the Ayin Hara. You live like the fish. I live in my own little world, my own little Dalai Lamas. I try and do things in an understated fashion. That's the biggest school of from the Ayin Hara, to protect from the Ayin Hara. Tznius, not only in the way that we present ourselves externally, the pnimius, in the way that we conduct our life. And Mitzvah Shem, if we look at others in a positive way, we'll look at us in a positive way as well. All right, Shkara Chavah.